WBEZ is supported by Rivian. Off-road electric Joyride ride-alongs are available in downtown Chicago in a Rivian truck or SUV from September 19th to the 21st at the corner of East Illinois and North Michigan. Plus, a chance to win a two-night stay at a luxury Chicago hotel. Terms apply. No purchase necessary. Entry period is September 12th through the 21st. Must be 21 to enter. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. Visit Rivian.com/Chicago Sweepstakes to enter.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. What could reparations look like for Black Chicagoans? That is what's on the agenda for a new Chicago task force created by Mayor Brandon Johnson. They just got started this month. Johnson says the legacy of slavery and its aftermath still echo in Chicago today. You might even remember he announced the idea on Juneteenth last year. Now, this group is thinking beyond just money. They say real reparations mean deeper, more meaningful repair. And they've got a nearby example to learn from. Evanston's already handed out checks to hundreds of Black residents to make up for its history of racial discrimination. So at the table was Pilar Audain, Associate Director of Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Greater Chicago. And Tonia Hill, Multimedia Producer for The Tribe, joined us by phone. Now, in this conversation, our panel will get you caught up on the early planning stages of the Chicago Reparations Task Force and what comes next for Evanston, Chicago, and other local communities looking to repair some of the harm done to their Black residents. I started this conversation by asking Pilar about what the Chicago Task Force members wanted to achieve over the next year.
I want to say first and foremost that I lead with the mantra that before we can change systems and policies, we must first change hearts and minds. So one of the things that I am really excited about is the mass communication, the ability to touch hearts, gather people, gather Chicago residents, lift their voices, create safe spaces where they can share how they feel reparations will improve their quality of life and help them, become more, tap into their own belonging, sense of belonging within Chicago, which has been historically extremely siloed. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to connect with our residents.
Yeah, and so when you heard that this project was coming to fruition, was it a no-brainer for you to sign on?
Absolutely. I was extremely excited. And, I think about all of the atrocities that are happening. I think about the food deserts. I think about the lack of investments in the neighborhoods that I grew up in here in Chicago, from the Roseland community on through Chatham. And It's time. Even though we're feeling all of this backlash from the national leadership, Chicagoans are ready. Our communities are ready. The research is solid. Big ups to my sister Glennis, with the Black Researchers Collective, Tanika Lewis Johnson, and so many others who've been doing this work. And so, yeah, we're on fire. We're ready.
Yeah. Tonia, you've been digging into this work from the journalist perspective. So tell me what it looks like to you as far as what's happening with this task force. And you write something interesting, that this group is not just looking at the money piece of things. So tell us more.
Sure. And thank you for that question. I think, like I wrote in the article, when you hear the word reparations, we're thinking, or some people are thinking about 40 acres and a mule. And Mother Jones did this really incredible piece, I believe it was last year, looking at how that was a lie, how there were some Black people who did receive land, following the Civil War, but all of that land was taken back from them, like after a year. So for years and decades, especially when you think about Chicago, we've seen so many different so much trauma around just the 1919 race riot, from racial covenants, from being, you know, unable to move into neighborhoods mm-hmm. with white people specifically. So being like boxed in Bronzeville, essentially, and not being able to move out. So I think this is, you know, a really interesting time to cover as a journalist, because in 2020, there was this big, you know, push for reparative harms, or even acknowledging that there's harms that were committed against Black people. But now in the time that we're in, there's this backlash to that. So I'm really interested to see how this task force is able to come up with a comprehensive study and in the face of like what's going on nationally.
We're joined by another guest now. Vanessa Johnson McCoy is here at the table with us. She's Operations and Community Engagement Manager for Reparations Stakeholders Authority of Evanston. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
I figured since we're talking about Evanston, we might as well get a representative right here, right? In the flesh. And you have been digging into this work, and it's personal too. You've been digging into this for years, at least with Evanston on this side of things for the past year. What are your thoughts on the ideas so far coming from this Chicago task force on looking beyond just giving people payments?
Sure. It's super exciting that they are making progress on the Chicago side. I also work with First Repair, Robin Ruth Simmons, and Evanston, of course, is the first to actually give reparations backed by a government-funded program. So we're excited to have led the way, and we work with many others. We're looking forward to continuing working with Chicago, as we already have been, in their endeavors to review the harms that were done to Black folks in the area, and then find some solutions to funding. And of course, it's more than compensation. There are five components of reparations, compensation only being one of them. And so we want to make our Chicagoans fully whole, just like we're striving to do in Evanston.
We'll say more on those five components and describe how the project is structured in Evanston.
Sure. Well, the five components, in addition to compensation being one, there's also guarantee of non-repetition, and there's restitution, satisfaction, and rehabilitation. And so those look different because it's just not the money, although the money is wonderful.
Yeah.
But there are also several other mental harms that health. I mean, there are just a number of other ways that the Black community has been harmed. And so reparations is full repair, full restoration. And so that looks like, in addition to money, lots of other things.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing, to do the research to see how Blacks were harmed so that we can address all those issues.
Right. Yeah. And Pilar, as you hear this, are Chicago task force members looking to Evanston?
Oh, yes, definitely. In fact,
what are the conversations like among you guys?
You know, I'm really looking forward to connecting with Robin actually on this Friday. The work that she's done to put, I think it was,
200
million,
residents,
200 million to 20 million, you know, to pour that back into the residents and to mm-hmm. see more stability within the Evanston streets, and to hear the testimonies and the process that she went through to really pass that legislation is inspiring. So I'm looking forward. I myself personally have not had many conversations with Robin, so I'm really looking forward to connecting with her.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're well on your way to making that happen. You and the rest of the task force, though, you had your first meeting.
Yes, we did.
On the 31st of July, so just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
So how did that go?
So we're just diving in and really exploring how to proceed and how to connect with Chicago residents, how to lift voices, based on much of the research that Robin has already done. And so we talked a lot about steps forward and how in the upcoming meetings we're going to really take a deep dive and just start to plan the engagement, the civic engagement. And mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to this next meeting. Our first meeting was many Chicago residents and leaders from the community who are super excited about the opportunity to just to connect in this way.
Tonya, you talked to several other members of this task force. Tell us more about what you heard from them. Did they share their goals and why they joined and maybe even their hopes for this project?
Sure. So I also spoke with Beatrice Boyce, who is the co-chair of the task force, and Alan as well, mm-hmm. Linton, who is one of the members, and he's a native Chicagoan. So Beatrice is from the west side and Alan is from the south side. So they did outline some of their goals. Something that really stuck out to me with what Beatrice was saying was just like how she grew up on the west side, seeing kind of just how empty it was, the walking outside and not seeing, you know, grass or how the pavement looked. So just looking at the environment. And then Beatrice, I think that's important to note that she was part of the group of people that was organizing back in 2019 to make a reparations commission possible in city council. And I didn't note this at the top, but this was one of the things that was passed under Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and it did call for, you know, directing money to it. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that language was taken out of it. So it was just became a subcommittee, but there wasn't any money attached to it. So now, like, this committee now, or commission, I'm sorry, task force under Mayor Johnson now has money allocated to it through the 2024 budget. But something else that I learned from both of them is just, like, I've really been interested in how some of our, you know, most notable civil rights leaders like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X were really imagining and building a world that they might not have been able to really see.
Yeah.
So just thinking about, you know, for your children or for the generations that come after you, what would this look like? And for Beatrice, that is, you know, her children and her grandchildren not having to worry about their zip code right. playing a factor into what, you know, resources or things that they have access to.
And Pilar, as Tonya speaks there, you're nodding. Yeah. I got to know what's going through your mind.
I mean, I just, it's a really personal journey because I think about, you know, my own mother who had to use addresses from other family members and, you know, who lived out in the suburbs and better neighborhoods for our education. I think about my grandfather, who was the first Black to move on 79th and Troop after World War II, looking for work. And I think about how he watched White Flight and all of the stories. And I think about my own journey, raising my children in Roseland, but having to drive outside of the community, clear across town so that they could get an education, that, you know, an equitable education that would allow them to be able to compete nationally while coming back to the hood to be able to try to improve conditions. So,
and is that something that stays at the forefront of your mind? Like day to day, are you consciously aware of what you're doing as you drive your kids cross town to school?
Yes, and they make sure that they've always made sure that I'm aware. I remember just stories of driving from 95th to, you know, like 7000 North, and my son asking me at the midpoint, why do the neighborhoods change? Why do you see so many families, Mom, you know, when we get north of 22nd Street? You know, why is there so much garbage when we get south of 55th or 43rd, mm-hmm. yeah. they would visibly notice, and I had to share the stories with them, yeah. you know.
And I want to talk about timing with you, Vanessa, because this work is happening as we're seeing a lot of changes over the last 8 months or so coming from Washington, but trickling down and impacting us greatly right here in Chicago and Illinois. We're seeing DEI under attack nationwide. We've got a presidential administration that is essentially, through their actions, trying to erase Black history from, we've seen it from government websites, in schools, at the Smithsonian. So what is it like to do this work now?
Well, From Evanston, of course, we've been doing it before the current administration. And so we have had a tax and continue to have a tax.
Yeah.
So that
but to see Chicago jump on at this point, I think is critical.
Yes, I totally agree. So we kind of have had our attacks and are still under attack. And I think it's just at another level now with the current administration. And so even funders are, you know, taking a step back where you may have gotten some additional support or allies or funders. Now there's pause and hesitation. So that is definitely a factor.
What's your response to people who push back on the idea of reparations? What do you say?
And yeah, we've had that from the beginning as well. It depends. It depends on the person, but I will try to explain or have them think about that there are still differences in the Black experience and everyone else, but especially the white experience, especially where we are in Evanston, and just to bring it to their attention that we have not come up, we don't have that wealth passed on because of the hundreds of years of slavery, et cetera. And just, it really depends. I may not engage much. It depends on the other person.
Yes.
If they seem open to me trying to bring it to their attention of why reparations are due.
I mean, this can be a touchy subject.
For sure.
Right?
For
so
sure.
I hear you on sort of gauging a person's interest first and taking it from there. Mm-hmm. Antonia, as Vanessa brings up the fact that, you know, funders have taken a pause in some cases at this time, thinking about the Chicago Task Force, how is the city funding this? So that we're clear, like, and what is the timeline here and the intended result, you think?
Sure. So the mayor's 2024 budget included $500,000 toward this initiative. And from what I understand, the task force members will receive a stipend. But the goal is to come out of this with a reparation study, and they have a year to do so.
As you listen to this conversation, Pilar, any questions come to mind for someone like Vanessa, who's already knee deep in this work? What would you want to learn from Evanston?
I'm looking to learn just how you navigate the pushback, you know, the pushback, how you navigate it with poise and calm, as you all seem to have done. I want to learn, you know, I'm interested to learn what that looks like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Robin is great at that. Robin Rusevin, she's great at that. I've learned lessons from her.
She's because, awesome.
Yeah, it can definitely be discouraging, but that's where like your village comes in because you know, we know that not just we're not the only ones doing the work, and that is what I would advise to Chicago to use your resources. There are lots of people in the reparation spaces. We work with over 100 organizations and municipalities that are doing this work. Mm-hmm. The work is hard. It can feel like people are not appreciative, even the ones that you're trying to help or that are being helped. And so I would definitely say use your resources, others that are in the reparation space, for when you need to have a cheerleader or need some encouragement. On our firstrepair.org website, we have a map that shows all the other reparations work that's being done. It has contact information.
Nice. Yes.
And so, yeah, and so use that. We have a toolkit on our website as well, thefirstrepair.org, that leads everyone step by step when they want to begin these reparations initiatives.
Oh, great. Some good resources available.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. We have monthly calls, Zooms, so you can hear what's going on, and our annual symposium that's coming up the first weekend of December.
I can't wait.
Yes. And
nice,
so
nice.
That is the main thing I would say is to use the resources that are also in this space because we understand and we can be there for encouragement and support.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Tonia, one of the things you did in your reporting, you asked members of the task force what they hoped reparations could look like for future generations, right? And what they want to see for their ancestors. Give us some anecdotes from that conversation.
Sure. So something else that we discussed is, you know, we talked about the zip codes. We talked about even just thinking about you know, thinking about the TIF funding and how that's allocated across the city, mm-hmm. what that means for economic opportunity in neighborhoods on the south and west sides that are really in need of that type of investment. And also looking at communities that are blighted on the south and west sides, mm-hmm. and just creating more like possibility and opportunity for wealth building for Black families.
So they were pinpointing problems that they're seeing today in Chicago that they think these reparations could address, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, to the other points that were made by the panel, just, you know, we are in a really hostile time. And I think something that I've been really curious about is just how do you keep having the willpower to push through? And I think some really great advice was given on how we can do that. But I think another thing, just thinking about this conversation about reparations, is just like, you know, are we the public willing to sit with uncomfortable conversations mm-hmm. around reparations? And also, do we have the willpower to continue to push through, you know, amid this very tumultuous political climate, and what that could look like if we push forward and ensure that we're repairing harms for Black Chicagoans who've suffered, you know, so much over decades in Chicago.
Right. Before we wrap, Vanessa, as we said, you're leading the charge in Evanston, right? First in the nation to have a municipal reparations program. Do you know if other cities beyond Chicago and Evanston are exploring this idea?
Oh, yes. We work with about 70 other municipalities. It's a slow process, okay. though.
But that's good to hear.
Yes, mm-hmm. they have begun the research with Chicago. We'll do next, because that's a big part of it. Thankfully, we had Shorefront Legacy Center that is already had Black Evanston history.
Yeah.
And so we were able to produce our harms report rather quickly.
Nice. This is very promising news. Mm-hmm, thanks for sharing that.
For sure.
We'll leave it there. Vanessa mm-hmm. Johnson McCoy is from the Reparations Stakeholders Authority of Evanston. Pilar Audain is from Truth, Racial Healing and Transformation Greater Chicago. Antonia Hill is a journalist with The Tribe. You can find her story on Chicago's Reparations Task Force, which is just getting started, as I mentioned. It's at thetribe.com. And remember, the word tribe's got two I's. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode was produced and mixed by Sienna Greaves and edited by Dan Tucker. Interested in more conversations like this one? Well, please consider subscribing. You can also visit us at wbez.org/reset. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.